Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're back here at Yankee Stadium as we get ready for a wild card game this evening. You'll hear it right here on the Fan. Pregame coming up, coming your way at 7:30. Right now, the Yankee general manager is Brian Cashman. Cash, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good, thank you. Welcome to another postseason. What number is this for you this year?
I have no idea. The only thing that matters is what we do, obviously.
What was the first one? 90, what, 8? 97? 98?
Well, SGM, 98.
SGA, 98. Okay, so yeah. It's 20 years of that right now. What's your thoughts? How do you feel about this addition as they hit the postseason?
I mean, I like our team, but no more than they like their team, you know. And, you know, it's a beautiful day out there. I drove into, you know, knowing that nothing happens by my hand tonight. It's really going to be, you know, all these guys competing against each other. And, you know, we hope we bring our A game. And because we're going to need it. You know, this is a very dangerous team in the Oakland club that Bob Melvin and Billy Bean and all constructed. And you watch last night's game play out with Chicago and Colorado and the twists and turns and the extra innings. And I was on the seat, you know, on the seat of my chair the whole game with that one, and I wasn't even invested. And so I can't imagine again. I've been through the wild card games already a few times over. And now, you know, at least we're fortunate enough to be in one again tonight.
You know, Cash, you had a lot of things that movable parts here at the end of the season. Injuries, the Hap deal, decisions to be made. Let's start with that. The decision as to who would start the game, how did you feel about the final decision? And, you know, yesterday Aaron took ownership of it, said, you know, really at the end it was my decision. You comfortable with Severino, and you know, what was your thoughts process as you came down to making that decision?
Yeah, we definitely had a lot of dialogue over the last 2 to 3 weeks about you know what we would do, and the reason we had so much dialogue on it is I believe there's a number of different legitimate options and a number of different lanes you can drive in, and so I'm comfortable with Seve without question. I would have been comfortable with Tanaka or Hap. I just feel that's, and I also would have been comfortable with the bullpenning it, you know, if you had to do it that way too. I just feel like there was a number of different ways to go, and trying to pick the right one is the process we have to discuss and deal with. But I think that Boone ultimately made the right choice with Seve, and I think he's pitched extremely well for us all year for the most part. Yet he obviously pitched poorly for a period of time, but it looks like he's back on track. And it's all hands on deck. Regardless, if he stumbles, then you know he'll go another direction. We have a lot of legitimate choices, but it was a lot of dialogue because I think there was a number of different ways you could play it.
How about your injury situation? You feel comfortable now about Didi? You feel comfortable about Chapman, key guys, and whether they're healthy and mended?
Yeah, I think thankfully, we got healthy at the right time. We certainly missed some guys for an extended period of time, and they all declared themselves towards the end as being, you know, fit and ready to go. And so I feel like we're entering postseason and today's date with a fully deployable arsenal of personnel, and that's all you could hope for. And then now we just hope that our best can beat their best and see where it takes us. But I feel good about where they are both physically and mentally, and I think they're prepared and ready to go and hungry for it. But everything I say first doesn't really matter, and second, they can say the exact same thing from their dugout. So we'll see what happens.
All right, take me through a trade, and was this just – it just was get rid of a guy that obviously, you know, was expendable in Shreve, and coming up with Voit. Now, the guy's gone unconscious here. He's got a 1-1 OPS. He's hit a zillion home runs in 130 at-bats. Is it you had your eye on this guy? And, yes, I think this was good a part on a good, really good job on our part, or was it a little bit of luck?
Well, in Boyd's case, he had been, you know, first base wasn't supposed to be a problem, obviously. You know, I think we all expected, you know, great things from Bird, and, and obviously it just didn't happen. So anyway, we, you know, we certainly went to discuss a lot of different options in our job on a simple form is to find upgrades in any area that we can. And so, you know, St. Louis had always had an affinity for Shreve. We were looking for not just an upgrade alternative potential to first base as we move forward, you know, because Tyler Austin was going to be out of options. We were also looking for international slot money. So Voit showed up on our radar a couple of years ago, but our analytics department, you know, guys like Sam Waters, John Morris, Justin Sims, Theo Fetter, those guys, you know, pushing and pounding the table to David Grabner, our director of analytics, and Mike Fishman, you know, those guys had been tracking Voit for the last few years, thought he was a player that was blocked in the St. Louis system, could be a nice alternative for us. He has options, so we felt that he would give us flexibility to the right-handed bat that Austin was going to had been providing for us as we move forward. And those guys, everything they had said that, you know, was possible has come to light, and Voit really has just, in the end, earned everything he's gotten by coming in here and doing what he's done. So it was a big under-the-radar move that's paying huge dividends. We got him as a protection mechanism at the very least with some upside, and he's played a much bigger role than that. And so, again, I got to point to Sam Waters, John Morris, Justin Sims, and Theo Fetter, along with the rest of our analytics crew, for pushing that.
And I got, if I remember right, Cash, he went down right away. Didn't he have like 18 at-bats and go back to the minors? He did, right? Didn't he go back down?
Yeah, well, yes, exactly. We got him. I think we, you know, baptism by fire into the Boston series. Maybe it was David Price or what have you. And you know, I think just kind of following the media reports of Voit, vocalized that he tried to do too much when he just got here, tried to make a too strong an impression and got out of his own, you know, zone, and so he struggled with us, and then we sent him down to AAA, and then he, you know, he was working with Phil Plantier, a AAA hitting coach, and got back on track, and when he came back here, he's been nothing but hit. You know, he's just a massive human being with the ability to impact the baseball with impact, and thankfully he's doing it for us at the right time.
I mean, the guy's batting fifth in the lineup in a playoff game, so how about that? I mean, it's an amazing story. It really is an incredible story, one of those wild ones, and he really is. And he's had an impact on the team, too. Some guys, you know, have an impact. They're infectious. He kind of seemed to have an impact on the dugout, too. They get a kick out of him.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I just watching it from afar, like the rest of us, he seems got a little bit of a... I told him, I said, you remind me of my favorite wrestler growing up, Jerry the King Lawler. He's got this WWE infectious type, you know, pizzazz to him. And I love, you know, when he does a little skip when the ball's off the bat and he thinks it's going to be out of the park, you know, and you see how he turns to the dugout and reacts to them with emotion. And that's all uplifting stuff, and, you know, trying to create positive momentum. And so I'm much appreciative and glad he's doing what he's doing for us, and happy for him, because in the end of the day, it's all on him. You know, what he's done and the name he's creating for himself is because of the results he's accomplishing on his own. So,
yeah, really amazing story. We're talking with Brian Cashman as we get ready for the Yankees wild card game. The other big issue tonight, other than Severino, is Sanchez. And Yankee fans, as you know, we've debated, it's been a conversation a lot, worried about his defense. To be fair, Aaron has been incredibly in his corner. He has never blinked the whole last month about whether he would be in there or not. Do you share his trust that everything's okay with him defensively?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Aaron or I, you know, don't admit that he has deficiencies that obviously come up every now and then. I don't think that we're not going to decline or deny that aspect of it. But at the end of the day, what he does bring and the positives that he brings far outweigh the negatives when it's all said and done, we believe. And we're willing to roll with that because, you know, he's an impact player. And is he finished off? Is he perfect? He's not. But I think that he does care. He works extremely hard. And I think he has a chance to be a difference maker every time he's on that field. And so we're certainly playing on that. And and that's the way it's going to roll. I think he's the best catcher on this club, and he's the best hitter at that position on this club, and because he checks both those boxes, that's why he's obviously getting the bulk of the playing time.
Listen, the defense we knew about, what do you think's going on with his hitting this year?
That's a good question. I mean, some of it, based on our behind-the-scene metrics, have a fair share of bad luck, but some of it's obviously doesn't get categorized as that too. I think there's definitely a period of time where his confidence wavered, and he got lost, because when you get on that bad side of the mountain, you get some negative momentum too, and so that played into it. But I do hope and feel that he started to catch, a skip in his step here in the last 10 days, as our team has. We got healthy, and guys that had struggled or had been struggling or trying to find their way back from injury or poor performance started to all of a sudden do some impact, and he was one of those guys. And so I think at the right time we started to see someone that might be resuscitating right in time. But we'll see how it plays out. First and foremost, see how he plays tonight, and if we're fortunate enough to move forward, see how he plays as if we're lucky enough to advance. And again, we're betting on him a lot of different ways, defending him, because I know he's, a subject of great discussion and debate and attack at times, and some of it's, warranted. But the good ones, you walk through fire with, and I think he has a chance to be a really good one for a long time. And so although the season hasn't gone the way he wanted, he still has a chance to change that narrative with some really positive performance at the most important time.
Talking with Brian Cashman, how about Andujar's year, right? I mean, you had to be not only pleasantly surprised, I mean, would it be as far as shock, or could you ever have foreseen this kind of season for him?
Well, I mean, the bat's not a surprise, obviously. I can't tell you we foresaw it, because I wouldn't have traded for Brandon Drury if I did. So
right.
we felt that he could use another year of development to finish off on the defensive side. The bat we knew could play immediately. But again, when you're as talented as a player like him, amongst others, they dictate when they're ready. And he proved, obviously, his time was now. And he had, obviously, a huge impact on this team and why we're, playing in this game tonight, and had some amazing accomplishments, and I certainly hope he wins the Rookie of the Year, because I think he deserves it.
So amazing season, and got better as the year went on too.
Yeah,
I mean, not only that, he just got stronger and stronger as his bats got better as the season went on.
Yeah, he really did. So I'm real proud of him. He's always, throughout his minor league career before he got to the major leagues, he was someone that extremely hard worker. The makeup was off the charts. The attitude, the hunger, the passion, the positivity was always there. And so he's earned every step of the way. Real proud of the career he's carving out for himself. And obviously there's still a ceiling and growth that can make him even better as he gets more experience and settles in. But he's certainly a big reason why where we're at today.
I mean, this is a 23-year-old kid with 76 extra base hits who hits 300. I mean, that's a remarkable year. It really is. But the other thing is, at 23, you want him to find a position because his bat's so good. Do you feel he can become a legitimate? Now, I've seen guys. Nettles wasn't a great third baseman when he started. He was, as a matter of fact, he wasn't great at all. I mean, Hauk was saying, I remember when he was making a bunch of errors, Ralph Hauk protected him, and he turned out to be a great third baseman. Now, I'm not asking for that, but I mean, do you see him becoming a legitimately solid third baseman?
We hope so. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I remember Wade Boggs coming through the minor leagues with the Red Sox and then ultimately winning gold gloves at the major league level. I remember Mike Lowell was a third baseman with us that, a lot of people felt at the time might not last the position and he'd have to move to first. And he was an amazing third
yep.
baseman once he was finished off. So people can get better. There's no doubt about it if they're focused and hungry to do so. He is.
He's that kind of kid, right?
Yeah,
he's
really is. So,
right.
So that, that obviously gives you hope, because there isn't areas of improvement for that position for him. But he's also, taken huge strides from 2 years ago to where he's at today. So he's really, he's earned a lot of the accolades, and there's more to come, I think, as he moves forward in his career. And I, you know, I have to thank a lot of people here because constantly challenged along the way, you know, teams trying to trade for a guy like Andujar when he was at A-ball or double-A or triple-A. So when we were in positions of, all right, we have a playoff contending team 2 years ago, you know, or even last year, for instance, you know, teams are coming after and knocking on our door about him. And our player development people, our pro scouting people, our analytics people, you know, our performance science people, all obviously putting their words in of, you know, who's a must keep and who's more okay to move, and he was a must keep. So you know, I'm glad that, you know, he arrives the way he did, impacts us the way he has, and justifies all the must keep conversations over the last 2 to 3 years that when we were challenged on do we trade him for something else.
We're talking with Brian Cashman. You made the change at manager. I don't have to ask you if he did a good job. He won 100 games. I mean, he didn't win a division, but he still won 100 games, which is quite an achievement in any year to win 100 games. What did you get from Boone this year that you liked?
I mean, he did a great job. I mean, managing this club, and especially, you know, if you're grading him on the scale of somebody who hadn't done it before, I mean, just a remarkable, you know, he honored the interview, essentially, in the end of the day. That, you know, everything he was in the interview, it played out the way we, you know, foresaw from that interview. And that's a hard thing, I guess, to be able to say. And I'm thankful I can say it because, you know, being in a boardroom with a lot of different people going through Q's and A's and how would you handle this and what would you do that. And, but everything, just like the guy turning the clock back that told us honestly, you know, when he hurt himself on the basketball court, you know, he was honest and direct. He was honest and direct in his interview here, and he's walked the walk. He's been exactly as advertised and what we thought he could be. And so, you know, he should be very proud of the year he's had, 100 wins, managing this team. You know, obviously we've had a lot of talent, no question about it, but the talent wasn't always there on the field. And the division with that team that's that finished ahead of us in Boston, especially, you know, the year they had, and obviously two other 100-win teams, or Houston obviously being a 100-win team, and Cleveland, and the guys that were playing today, the Oakland A's, you know, they easily could have won 100 games if that third baseman didn't get hurt for the first 2 months of the season as well. So he's done a great job, and we're lucky that we ran into him during the interview process.
Are you spooked at all? I think this is part of, you know, my Yankee lineage, but that the team is so right-handed. I mean, you know, we're always weaned on the idea of having left-handed power in this ballpark. I mean, you have a very right-handed team. You start a very right-handed team tonight. Does that bother you at all?
No, it doesn't. I'll be honest. I mean, with the way the shifting has gone on, and if you have the right-handed amount of hitters that can use the whole ballpark. All ballparks not necessarily the same ballpark, obviously, as the old Yankee stadiums, because, you know, you can get a ball out of here in all parts of the stadium.
A lot easier in left and center than the old days, no question.
Correct. So
no question.
I think between the shifts and the kind of the dimensions being a little different in this new facility and the way the ball carries here, it kind of maybe limits the, you know, the old, you know, home field advantage with a bunch of left-handed hairy monsters that we used to play on.
But big left-handed hitters that are in the box in big games still scare the heck out of you in this place, you know, because they can hit anything out of this ballpark to right field.
No question about it. And obviously, if we could have more balance, we would. But it's just the way, you know, sometimes the way it shakes out, you know. You know, so, you know, when we ran into Judge in the draft, he was right-handed, but we took the best player regardless. When we traded for Gleyber Torres, you know, he was right-handed, but we took the player that was best available regardless. And, you know, we signed Gary Sanchez, you know, I can go on and on and on.
Right.
You know, so when the injuries hit and, you know, Judge was down and the best outfield option out then on the trade market was McCutcheon, and he just happens to be right-handed. So it's more of a so be it rather than, you know, at any point get allergic to it. And it's just how the cookie crumbled, and we're okay with that because it's just the best players collectively we can get our hands on, whether it's development, trade, international sign, or you know, draft, and it just the way it played out.
Can you remember a year where there's more talent in a one league than there is in this American League? I mean, 300-win teams Cleveland could have won 100 games if they got pushed. You mentioned Oakland. You could have had five teams that were quality, that could have been 100-type win teams. Oakland wins 97. Cleveland, if they had a reason to, probably could have won 100. I mean, that I don't remember the quality of a playoff. I remember one team, maybe even two, but this is where every team is really good in the American League.
Kind of like the Western Conference, the NBA.
Yeah,
you know, it's
really,
any of these teams
could win. Would you be surprised if anybody won in the American League? Maybe Oakland, but other than that, would you be surprised if Houston won or Cleveland won or you won or Boston won? You wouldn't be surprised at all.
I think we're all capable of running the table, but the way this game is, you know, played out and the way it can act at times on you, there's probably some, you know, much lesser talented team in the National League that's just waiting in the wings to somehow surprise the world at the same time. So it's just the way it is. But I agree with you without question. I think the best baseball is here in the American League. The best teams are here in the American League. And if you play a season out and a year in and year out basis 100 times over, the true champions should come out of this league and try predicting it. That's why, you know, I don't recommend anybody betting on baseball, because this would be not a safe bet to bet on anybody, because I think each team is equally capable of doing some serious damage and running the table.
Well, look, good luck. I know tonight's a tense game right from the get-go. I mean, these one-game ones I know are tough to take. You've gotten used to it, though. You've been in it enough. I mean, this game has become part of recent October heritage. So, I mean, you're getting used to these wild card games, right?
Yeah, I get used to it, especially it allows you to control emotions, recognizing, it's a waste of time to have any right now, and so I don't have butterflies. I'm just waiting for it all start, and what will be, and I certainly hope what will be our best baseball against their best baseball, and then if that's the case, I'll take our chances.
All right, thanks very much for coming on. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks
Good
so
luck.
Thanks so much, Mike.
All right, Brian Cashman, back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.